Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today is Friday, September the 28th of 2018. Made it to a Friday. Got some cool stories today. Kind of cool and not so cool. We're going to talk about Facebook, some different ATM hacks that are going on. And we're going to talk about BitTorrent and Tron, how they're partnering together. And also going to talk about AT&T and what they're doing with some blockchain tech. So, biggest news of the day. We'll start out with cybersecurity. The biggest news, Facebook got hacked. 50 million accounts were affected. They've already reset the passwords. But the hackers found a way to get access tokens using the view as feature. So when you go to view your profile, you can apparently extract tokens that way. And they were getting these tokens and signing into people's accounts and changing their password, locking them out, or, you know, generally pissing them off one way or another. So that was pretty scary. They apparently tried this on 90 million accounts, but only got into 50 million. I'm not sure that's any better, but it's definitely scary. So if you have a Facebook account, change your password. I know that they were getting tokens. I get that, but change your password anyway, just in case. Facebook did say that they've corrected the issue, but still, it's a pretty damn big deal that a company like that, and especially with all this news with, you know, Facebook having with the Cambridge Analytica stuff where they were, you know, in front of the Senate for all these hearings about their privacy policies and privacy issues. So Facebook's going through a really rough stretch here. I saw another article about Facebook, and it was really disturbing. Essentially, the gist of the article was that Facebook is using all the telephone numbers that your friends, so let's say, here's an example. You get a new phone, right? You log into Facebook for the first time. It prompts you and says, do you want to import your contacts or see who else you know on Facebook? Well, if somebody says yes, let's import my contacts or see who else I know on Facebook, Facebook is selling that data. And they're selling that to marketing companies so they can start sending you targeted ads. And they're doing this also with multi-factor. So if you set up multi-factor with a cell phone and you gave them a cell phone number, for example, they're using that cell phone number and they're selling that as well. They're selling that information to marketing companies. I mean, talk about shady, man. This is, I don't know, really, really makes me question having Facebook altogether. Only reason I still have is because my wife says we need to, but man, not okay what's happening right now. I hope that Facebook eventually learns their lesson here, but man, it should have never gotten to this point to begin with. Just really shouldn't have. And it's a damn shame. You know, everybody's expected to be super secure and lock down everything as best they can, and a huge company like that can't even keep themselves secure. It's really, really, really mind-boggling. And it's unfortunate. I saw some other statistics about millennials and how they're, a lot of them are deleting the Facebook apps from their phone. And, you know, I don't really blame them. I would totally do the same thing if I could. Unfortunately, my wife insists that I have it, so I'm kind of stuck in that aspect, but I totally would too. I don't blame anybody that that deletes the app, I don't blame anybody that wants to kill Facebook right now. It is horrible what they've done. So anyway, that was probably the biggest news of the week, even. Facebook getting hacked. So anyway, in other news, the Secret Service, of all people, is warning about some more ATM hacks. If you'll remember, the FBI was warning about other types of ATM hacks. But the Secret Service is saying that basically these hacker groups are basically creating a little hole in the ATM itself and then installing a wiretapping sort of device to siphon customer data. So that's pretty scary stuff. So if you see a hole in an ATM, think twice about using that ATM. The more of these I see, the less I want to use ATMs altogether. But, you know, at some point you do have to get money out of your bank, unfortunately. But it's pretty rare nowadays, but still. So I'll post the link to the Facebook stuff and to this Secret Service ATM hacking warning that's going on there. Pretty wild stuff, man. Pretty wild stuff. So we're going to jump now into some cryptocurrency. Our friends at Tron, that make the cryptocurrency Tron, they bought BitTorrent, the application. They bought it probably 6 months ago. And they announced today that if you are one of the people that are seeding using their BitTorrent service, you can earn Tron tokens. So I thought that was a pretty interesting thing. I don't know, you know, what kind of, I mean, people could be seeding all kinds of copyright infringement type of stuff. And so I don't know if, you know, as long as you're seeding legit information, then you can earn Tron tokens, or if it's just seeding in general that you can earn Tron tokens. I think there's going to be some controversy around that. Depending on, I don't know if they already have some sort of policy like that, or even a way to check to see if it's, you know, if they're seeding some sort of copyrighted material, like a movie or music or whatever. So if you're a BitTorrent fan and you use the BitTorrent client, then check that out. You can earn some Tron tokens. I don't know when this is actually going to be implemented, but I will post a link to the article in the show notes so you can investigate it further. But I thought that was kind of cool. Give some people some incentive. But apparently they're going to start doing BitTorrent on blockchain. At least that's kind of what I'm getting at here. Well, at least that's what the article seemed to indicate, though, is that they're going to basically do some torrenting via a blockchain network of some sort. So that's going to be interesting, too. I don't think any of this is in production yet. It's just kind of what they're planning on doing. But hey, that's pretty cool stuff. More and more and more uses of blockchain tech. So that's nothing but good for cryptocurrencies as well as blockchain in general. And speaking of more blockchain tech, the biggest, or one of the biggest, telecom carriers is going to start their own blockchain targeting supply chains and healthcare. And it's going to be with AT&T, of all companies. So they've actually got this in a, I want to say it's almost in production. And they're going to start marketing it to supply chain vendors and to some healthcare folks. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out. I think it'd be really cool to see what they can do, especially in healthcare. I understand the use case for supply chain. You're tracking inventory, tracking shipments, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the use case for healthcare, now that's going to be interesting. I guess you can use it to track patient data and patient records and prescriptions and all kinds of interesting stuff. So I'd like to see that actually in action whenever they come out with it and somebody actually buys the service from them. I'd love to see what this is, what it actually looks like, and see how it really helps. You know, but the whole premise of blockchain was that it was a distributed network. I could also see this working out at like a pharmacy to be able to track prescriptions and track orders. And, you know, if that pharmacy does shipping, they could track the shipments. So definitely some cool stuff. With all of this blockchain stuff, though, it makes me wonder what's going to happen to SQL databases. Will SQL survive? Or will blockchain just take over everything? I mean, at the rate it's going, it seems like there's quite a bit of adoption for blockchain. So I wonder if this will spell the end of SQL, or maybe it's just a fad. We'll see what happens. I guess we'll see in about 5 years whether or not it actually takes over. It does make me wonder, though. All this stuff has traditionally been stored in SQL backup, or SQL databases, excuse me, and not in blockchain. So it'd be cool to see where this all goes. But maybe SQL will be gone eventually. And all the other database applications too, the MongoDB and all these other small ones. You know, will those also go away? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. We'll just have to give it a few years and see what actually happens. But going back to what I was just saying earlier, the whole point of blockchain is to be a distributed system where there's no one central point of authority. Well, if you're going through AT&T for a blockchain, guess what? There's a central authority right there. Same thing goes if you use Microsoft Azure. You're going through Microsoft, so they are still the central authority. So think about that stuff too when you look at these different blockchain applications that are coming out, and make sure that that's something that you're willing to put up with. Ideally, what AT&T and Microsoft should do is allow the customer to set up multiple instances of this blockchain in various locations for replication and backup and all that high availability and stuff like that. So that's what they should do. But from the sound of it, right now it's all going through AT&T in their data centers and whatnot, or through Microsoft's Azure data centers. So not real sure how that's going to work out in the end, but I guess we'll see in about 5 years. See if old SQL starts tanking. I got a crossover story, and this is just kind of a general story about cryptojacking. I know I've talked about it a lot here on the show, but cryptojacking is more popular than ever. If you don't know what cryptojacking is, that's part of one of the reasons I made this podcast to begin with. It's a crossover story with mining for crypto, and it also affects cybersecurity. So they're saying that the number of cryptojacking attacks has, you know, just gone way, way up this year. It's up, you know, several thousand percent over last year, of course. Because last year it was all kind of brand new stuff. But this year they're really honing in on their craft, and they're able to exploit even more systems and mine crypto on even more systems. So it's becoming a lot more prevalent. But there are a lot of different ways to help mitigate those kinds of things. The obvious stuff is there, but a lot of these cryptojacking malware applications, they use random outbound ports. They're not going to use the typical 443 or port 80 or whatever, they're going to use some random high port going outbound. Yeah, of course, some of them might use 443 or port 80. But if you have a firewall, you can only allow outbound traffic from the allowed ports, like port 80, port 443, port 22, 21, 20, whatever you want to put in there, and only allow that going outbound. And that way it would help mitigate some of this. Now, I'm sure that they can change some of their code and make it go out 443, and that basically renders this useless, but there's another cool trick that we've set up at my job, and essentially a lot of the malware in general, both cryptojacking and the ransomware stuff, most of it executes from a temp directory. So what we did in our GPO is we whitelisted only the applications that were allowed to run in the temp folder, and if it's not, if we don't have their signed certificate in our GPO allowing that application, it will not run. I tried to install Dashlane on my work computer. Some of that executes from the temp directory. It would not let me install it. So it does help. Of course, nothing's perfect, but the more you can add to it, the better. So, a couple of mitigating tactics there that we've done. And it all, you know, it just helps with general security, too. One of the other big things that I think a lot of people don't think about, or maybe they do and I'm just on an island by myself, but disabling SSL and TLS version 1 and 1.1 in your group policies. Now, I understand that some companies can't do that, but if you're going to any modern website, they're bound to be using TLS 1.2. They're bound to be, at least if they're a good company and they're somewhat secure. So I could see even allowing 1.1 and 1.2, but turn off support for the others. I think that's also a big security risk, leaving those turned on, because there can be downgrade attacks that happen and all kinds of other crazy stuff. But, you know, these are also things that you can just generally do to help lock stuff down even better. We kind of stumbled on that one today, and we're going to start disabling SSL across the board, and then TLS 1.0 across the board, and then we're going to try to move to disabling 1.1 also, but we're actually a little worried that it's going to break some stuff. So we are going to be doing some heavy testing when we get to that point. But nonetheless, good stuff to help you mitigate whatever's going on there. But anyway, that's all I really had for today and for this week. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the weekend. Relax. And the weather's getting a little cooler. At least it is here in Texas. So it's been rather nice. So get out and enjoy the weather. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk next week. Oh, by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. You can follow me on there. Tweet at me. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk next week.